Saturday, November 7th, at Holocene in Portland. College Day aims to fill a day with great programming and speakers from and related to college and non-commercial radio, allowing both new and experienced voices from the radio world to talk about the issues that matter most to them. At this all-ages event, there will be live music, innovative workshops, presentations, and interviews with key members of the music and radio world from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Again, that's College Day on Tour, Saturday, November 7th, at Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 9:59 a.m. Coming up at 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Followed at 10:15 with Flashpoints. At 11, it's the incomparable Radio Zine, featuring Intersections with your host, Sarika Mehta, and a little bit from the Siren Nation Festival of Women's Visual Arts, Spoken Arts, and Music. And thanks to all the KBOO members for your generous support, and those who have not yet managed to become members of the KBOO Foundation can remedy their oversight at kboo.fm. Click where it says donate today. And now, stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, November 6th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. And today we have a really exciting guest. Sean Flynn is joining us. He's an associate director of the Program on Information, Justice, and Intellectual Property at the American University Washington College of Law. Whew. And he is talking about not, in fact, the Keystone XL like the rest of the country. He's talking today with us about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because he, I, and many other people actually do see the light through the clouds of smoke being blown by the White House. This was pretty much already agreed upon. The request on the part of TransCanada to suspend, they asked the State Department to suspend the Keystone XL's application, was seen anyway by the Indian Environmental Network as a last-ditch effort for the corporation, that's TransCanada, to avoid a rejection of its presidential permit application. It's a clear, they say, a clear stall strategy that hopes for a supportive president from the 2016 elections. Now, if First Nations people can see through the smoke, then the rest of us ought to be able to follow. The real issue that we ought to be focused on right now that is far more dangerous. Keystone XL, believe me when I say there's Enbridge, there's umpteen million of these pipelines, but we can stop it, and we really must stop it in the run-up to the 2016 elections. But they have withdrawn their permit, and that could be made a permanent withdrawal of permit. So what we should be focused on right here and right now is the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and particularly that part of it which is the investor-state dispute settlement, which ties the hands of us all, whether we like the Keystone XL or not. It won't matter. It won't matter. Because of the investor-state dispute settlement clause, we are done as far as protests or filing lawsuits or passing laws. It won't matter because corporations are going to have their say. And on that note, I want to welcome Sean Flynn to the KBOO Airwaves. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Well, we feel we'd like to talk about this investor state dispute settlement. It's extremely dangerous, and can you tell listeners, in case they haven't found out yet, and the details of this, anybody that reads WikiLeaks already knows some of the details, the fact that it was kept secret, that's the story. But what, in fact, would the investor state dispute settlement do?
So what you refer to as the investor state dispute settlement, system is put into place by one of the chapters of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, so what we're calling a TPP, which is a trade agreement between 12 different countries all bordering the Pacific Ocean. And in that agreement, there is an investment chapter which allows private companies to enforce parts of the agreement that prohibit a government from directly or indirectly compromising the investments of a country, which is a company, and that term investment is defined extremely broadly. So it includes expectations of profit, and it includes in particular an area that I work on, intellectual property rights. So when a government indirectly regulates in a way that limits the investment rights of these companies, then the private companies can sue to enforce the agreement, and they can sue for damages in international arbitration forums.
So, would you say damages? Can you give us an example, perhaps from the hypothetical intellectual property rights dispute, what damages might consist of?
Yeah, well, there's one of these going right now. So Eli Lilly in Canada has brought a claim under NAFTA. So the NAFTA agreement is the godfather of all these agreements. It's the first agreement to include one of these investor state dispute settlement chapters. That was in Chapter 11 of the NAFTA agreement. A lot of people have heard of these Chapter 11 disputes. And so there's a Chapter 11 dispute going on right now where Eli Lilly claims that the invalidation of one of its patents on an old medicine that was developed in the 1970s, it had some patents on new uses of those old medicines, and the Canadian court said, well, they found that they weren't sufficiently inventive to warrant the patents that it had, so it invalidated those patents. Eli Lilly is saying that invalidation has, in effect, confiscated their intellectual property rights and their expectations of profiting by extended monopolies in the Canadian markets. And so they're now asking for the arbitration panel to award Eli Lilly all the money that it says it lost by not having this extended monopoly, which the courts in Canada have rejected.
So how do they come up with a figure? How does Eli Lilly establish an amount that
it's fairly simple to do. I mean, they're basically saying, well, because now you're going to have generic versions of this medicine on the market, the price is going to decrease to 10% or so of what we would have asked for. So we would have gotten this price that was 100 times higher than the price that we can get under the market when we're competing with generics. And so the government should pay the difference back to the company. So it will be, literally in the billions of dollars if their argument holds. Now, it's not clear that they will win, but what is clear is that the TPP allows these kind of complaints to go forward. So this case was filed years ago while the TPP was still being negotiated. People pointed out that this case seemed to be brought through a loophole in the investment chapter, which defines intellectual property as an investment and then essentially says that a takings can occur wherever the intellectual property chapter of the agreement is not being adhered to. And so Eli Lilly says, well, then we get to litigate the whole intellectual property chapter in these foreign arbitration forums. Now, the negotiators could have fixed that. They could have made it clear that private companies are not allowed to enforce the IP chapter, but they didn't. They left the same language there. And so it's going to invite more of these kind of cases where companies claim that the regulation of their IP rights through limitations and exceptions, through fair use clauses, through these kind of public protections are taking their IP rights, and therefore the government should pay. So we'll see more of these kind of things in the future, most likely.
Yeah, I would expect if this thing passes, and it sure looks like the Obama is pushing it. And again, it is so transparent to many people that this is the Keystone XL is a cover for especially going into climate talks for what the effects that this Trans-Pacific Partnership is likely to have. We here in the Pacific Northwest are particularly concerned about the destruction to our already compromised environment should this thing pass, because of course any timber company could come in and say they have a right to cut down everything. And if somebody says no, we've got laws about that, they say, really? Well, we'll see you in court, and they inevitably will see us in court. One other thing I wondered about is the negotiations establishing the amount that they go after. What is this in perpetuity? Is there any sort of time factor involved? Did they come up with that number that they're going to court after, with any thought to how long this is going, like profits over a particular stretch of time?
Well, in the Eli Lilly case, it involves a patent, and patents last for 20 years, so there is kind of a particular time element on that one. But, you see these cases brought in all kinds of different spheres. One of the issues that's been discussed in the TPP is the issue of tobacco control, for instance. And there are cases being litigated against Australia and Uruguay that their plain packaging legislation, which bans the use of trademarks on cigarette packages and requires that they be used with plain package, with no advertising on the labels, there's a claim that takes away their trademark rights of the cigarette companies. And that became a big issue in the TPP negotiations. And even some of the negotiators said, well, we're going to carve out tobacco from this agreement. But what we found is that's actually not true, that there is a possibility that states may exclude tobacco from these ISDS proceedings, but they don't have to. And now you're going to see tobacco companies and their lobbyists lobbying all the individual countries to not exempt them. And most likely some of them won't, And one big question is whether the United States will actually exempt tobacco regulations from ISDS. It's not required to. And a lot of the people in Congress and tobacco states are pushing on the administration to not do exactly that. So we may open up our tobacco regulations to challenge under these international forums as well.
I have other questions for you, especially regarding China and the president's perhaps motives here of controlling the increasing power of China in the economic forum. But I don't think we have time for that one. Is there anything in that you would like to, particularly from the intellectual property rights perspective, that you would like to add before we let you go today?
Sure. Well, I think the important point about the intellectual property chapter and really the TPP in general is that the purpose and effect of this new international law agreement, it will be binding international law, is to bind our policymakers' hands on a whole host of issues that affect the public interest. So on issues of patents themselves, things like liability for internet companies and for what's going on the internet and takedowns on the internet are regulated, patent evergreening, the process of getting more and more patents for the same molecules over time is regulated by this agreement. The role of pharmaceutical pricing decisions in programs like Medicare, Medicaid are regulated. A whole host of issues would be will tie policymakers' hands at the international level. In fact, there's over 6,000 pages in this agreement. All of it was negotiated in secret from the public, but in close coordination with a series of 300 or so corporate lobbyists who helped negotiate and helped write the proposals all the way. So you can be highly distrustful of what's in this agreement and how it will affect democracy, really.
And on that point, we will let you go. I want to thank you very much. That's certainly a lot to think about, and for some, a lot of reading to do in 90 days. And I suppose that the struggle is on to oppose this thing and to call the White House. It is not too late to call the White House, despite all the falderal about the Keystone XL. Which, of course, is just merely waiting in the wings for a Republican presidency. But right now, call 202-456-1111. Again, my guest has been Sean Flynn. He's the Associate Director of the Program on Information, Justice, and Intellectual Property at American University, Washington College of Law. I want to thank you very much for being with us today. And this has been, of course, Cascadia for Friday, November 6th, 2015. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. And one further note, if you are concerned about U.S. involvement in Iraq and Syria, there is a rally this evening, 5 p.m., Pioneer Courthouse Square. Then that's it. Stay tuned.
Flashpoints. The devil is definitely in the details when it comes to the TPP. We'll take an in-depth look at those devastating details that deepen corporate power.